I purchased a priest from Napoleon's Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 75mm figure. You hear that? Thank you, man with a car with a massive exhaust. It's really helpful to do that right now. I'll just let him try and park his car. Yep. The trouble is, it's a tight car park, and I imagine he's probably got, you know, a huge exhaust to try and park. He just recently bought it, too, so he's not going to get rid of it soon. Right, he's gone now. Bye. Anyway, he's the enemy of the show, the man with the exhaust. Hello, and welcome back.
Thanks for joining us for another podcast. No?
It's fine, ad lib. People get bored. People skip this bit anyway.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. I am Malcolm Childs.
And I'm James Skiffins, and we are Just Making Conversation,
where we discuss the ins and outs of the model-making hobby that brings us joy and pain in equal measure.
From Sprugates to Easy Eights and everything in between, we are going to Just Make Conversation. Remember, there are other podcasts you can listen to.
Plastic Model Mojo.
The Scowl Model Podcast.
Plastic Posse Podcast.
On the Bench.
Model Geeks.
The Sprue Cutters Union.
Small Subjects.
Built Sideways.
Model by Garpon.
The Micro Machines Podcast. Head to modelpodcast.com for all the links.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, consider leaving a review, because it really helps us. And you can do that for free. So go in and tell them what you think. Unless it's negative, then don't.
Showing your support is easy as making a cup of coffee. In fact, why not go over to buymeacoffee.com/JMC podcast and do just that. Your support will help go towards making this podcast and its content just a little bit better.
You notice I've dropped the ninja slash.
I did, I see it.
And the reason I did is because no one's mentioned it to me at all, that they find it funny or interesting. So I've just dropped it. So if you're one of those big fan of the Ninja Slash but haven't mentioned it, mention it, because it's going to go.
Hashtag bring back the Ninja Slash.
Hashtag what's Ninja Slash?
In this episode, we'll be just making conversation about Scale Model World and Malcolm's adventures at this enormous show in Telford, UK.
Scale Model World, ran by the International Plastic Modellers Society, is an annual show ran at the Telford International Centre in the UK, with space for thousands of people and hundreds of clubs and special interest groups. It is the place to be if you like sticking plastic to other bits of plastic.
And this episode is going to be just a little bit different, because effectively I'm going to be interviewing Malcolm. But the bad news is there are no hobnobs and no special wishes that have been granted.
There's no M&Ms?
No, nothing.
Not even any green M&Ms?
No, that's the level of my jealousy of the fact that I couldn't go.
Are there any crumbs of M&Ms in the bottom of the bowl like you get?
No, but I licked the bowl just to make sure there was nothing there.
It's a good job I didn't lick the bowl too.
We should read out some comments.
Yes.
Our first comment is from Raphael, and he says, great interview. I felt like I was listening to the UK version of Small Subjects, only with more nut jokes.
I assume this was in relation to our previous episode with the interview with Robert Lane.
Mm-hmm. I would assume so.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Raphael. Is Small Subjects a North American version of Just Making Conversation? But with less nut jokes.
Yes, could be.
Certainly with less nuts. From Instagram, Mini Model Paint said, what a great nut job. Well done. And that was referring to the winner of the Walnut Challenge group build,
which we'll come to very shortly. Our next message was Paul Gallagher. Love what you've done with the Walnut Challenge, though I keep seeing new Walnut models that make me realise that yet another whole other level of amazing model making exists. The interviews you have recently started are brilliant. The first on diversity in the hobby was perfectly pitched. Good job. So the other reason he mailed was to explain to us that his friend, Peter, from Hobby Bounties, he was coming over on a business trip and was going to pop into Telford. So a great effort, Paul has passed on a little package of his nuts to Malcolm. He is the person that is responsible for the inspiration of the whole build.
He is.
Because he is the one that started it all with a two-sided Cooper wagon in a nut. One is pristine and the other is on fire with an LED. Massive respect to Paul for sending that to us all the way from Singapore. We both are very, very grateful that you've done so.
Entirely. It was wonderful having the actual walnut itself that started everything to be to be there. It was really good. And then he had others as well. He had the one with the seaplane in the walnut and the shark and the boat. And he had what's the other one he had? The Ukrainian chap on a horseback as well. That was one of his. But yes, we'll talk about the walnuts in a bit.
We posted a couple of bits and pieces up over the weekend about the fact that Malcolm was there and the nuts and all that sort of stuff. Rather than go through everybody saying well done to the winner, I thank you and congratulate you for taking the effort to congratulating the winner of the Nut Award. Just a little bit of a spoiler for next year, we'll be keeping the Nut Award, and the Nut Award is actually all the Golden Nut Award, of course. He's already prepared for next year's presentation, which will be at Telford.
Well, you've got a year to polish it.
Yes. So clearly on this episode, we're not going to be doing a Moosaroo update because Malcolm's been too busy and not opened the box yet.
We can do a Moosaroo update.
Go on, do your Moosaroo update then.
Moosaroo Cup, blah, 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 blah.
I haven't touched it.
Wow, I'm glad we updated you. That's great. However, there is an update of something else.
Ooh.
I was invited by Callum from Micro Machines podcast to get involved with a group build for the Battle of Bulge. I said I would. And I went out, as you probably remember from the last episode, and bought the prize. I had got the wrong kit and had to get a different kit. So I'm actually building the Tamiya US M8 light armored car, the Greyhound.
Oh, cool.
And I have actually started it. It's out of the box and it's almost halfway built.
Oh, are you sharing pictures on the Facebook page?
I will be sharing pictures on the Facebook page. And I've gone a bit mad, which is unlike me.
Right. Okay. What have you done?
So I've done a bit of detailing that isn't in the kit. So what I've actually done is I have put in all the weld seams. I put some rivet detail in. I have put some wiring in. I have added brackets for weapons, etc., that aren't in the driver's area. But I've also scratch built the little bay of where the shells sit.
Mm.
And in this little scratch build, the bay has two sliding doors, and my doors slide.
Oh my god.
I've actually made them slide. Not that you'll ever be able to get in it once the turret's on to slide them open or shut, but...
I've enjoyed it.
I have, actually. I was talking to Carl Smith from Making Models. I've become a little bit stagnant with my builds. The Helldiver is over there sulking. My Katie's sulking. And I've got a 148th KV1 that's sulking. Because I've just not given them any love at all. I've just really lost the appetite. And the reason I'm doing the scratch build is because I was inspired by a video on YouTube. Gentleman's name is Matt, and he did a build, I think it is for E-models, in fact, of this particular kit. And I've nicked pretty much all of his ideas off those video builds as to what I can do with mine. And it's made me realise that actually, probably one of the reasons why I'm so stagnant with my builds is because I'm not doing scratch builds.
Oh.
I'm not. Whereas I do normally, my passion is dioramas, not to bore anybody, but that involves an awful lot of scratch building. And I think that's potentially why I'm struggling the way I am. So it's been a bit of an eye-opener, in fact.
The Helldiver is full of extra bits and pieces. I guess there's a difference between aftermarket and scratch building, isn't there?
Well, there is, yeah. I mean, basically everything that's in there, apart from a bit of wiring, is not me manufacturing something that to fit the goal, if you like. So,
yeah.
You know, I've got to scratch build a few panels and bits and pieces. But yeah, I do like my dioramas, and it has inspired me a little bit to look at the diorama side of things. It's inspired me to do a little bit with the Katie, because I was struggling with the rear end of the Katie and the way I closed it up. The fact that I was stupid and used super glue and ended up leaving fingerprints and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, so it's been quite an interesting build, and I, to be honest, have done that amount of model making in, I probably guess, 3 or 4 sessions. Yeah, so it's had a good impact on me. So yeah, so I will post those pictures up in the said correct places that I need to, and also I'll share it on to Just Making Conversation as well.
Well done. I'm glad you got your mojo back. It's nice to hear.
Yes. Malcolm.
Hi.
You're in the hot seat. Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, all right, thanks. I am back from Scale Model World. My feet have recovered, so I'm ready to go, ready to talk about it.
Obviously, I wasn't there, and I want to know all the gossip, all the ins and outs of the show, who was there, what they did, what they didn't do, what was best kit. So, you were there for the full weekend, obviously. I would like to know, first off, where is my cake?
Right. I assume that I was supposed to bring you back cake.
Well, I had a message from Gary saying that he was bringing cake.
Maybe you didn't get the message that it was exclusively for people that actually went to the show.
Oh, I see. Like that, is it?
I don't think that cake will stretch to everybody who didn't go to Scale Model World, because that would be quite a few millions and millions of people. Actually, yeah. So Gary, one of the beneficiary models for Heroes, his wife said that she was going to make some honey cake, and she did, and it disappeared in about 12 minutes. And then the next day, he brought in flapjacks, and they disappeared. It was nice to have munchies behind the stand. Didn't have any hobnobs. That was shocking.
This is outrageous. obviously, a lot of people come over and saw you.
Yeah.
Could you give me a clue as to, you know, who did you manage to bump into?
You want a list of people that I bumped into? I can't give you that list. It's just so many people. There are, it's like a blur of people, like a blur of faces. I met so many different folks that are listening to just Making Conversation. People quite kindly coming up and saying, "Oh, I just want to say hello, and I just want to say I like the podcast." A lot of people were saying that they enjoyed our chemistry. A lot of people were saying that they enjoyed when it finished. One guy, oh damn, I wish I knew this chap's name. You'll know who you are, dude. You'll know who you are. He said that he was driving he's a truck driver. He's driving his truck, and he really likes listening to all the podcasts because it gives him some relaxation. And so he was listening to us, and he just getting to the end of our episode, he was pulling up to a truck stop. Okay, as he's pulling up to the truck stop, he had the windows down, and all his, you know, his truckie mates were all there, all being truckie. As he pulls up,
yeah.
The episode outro comes on. You know, the big French horn thing, and everyone hears that. What the fuck are you listening to? That was quite funny. I can't remember your name. I'm very sorry. Every single person was very positive and very thankful for what we do. And it was wonderful. It gave me a really nice feeling inside. So thank you very much if you came up and found me. It was lovely. And I went out and found some other people as well. Robert Lane, I had a chat with him. He said also people had come up to him and said that he really enjoyed his interview on Just Making Conversations. So that's good. And he gave me a freebie.
Oh, did he?
He did. He gave me this.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so this is Wilf, I believe. Yes, it is
Wilf, yeah.
Wilf, Old With Style 1. So this is the guy who's got the little hat on, a little miniature dude, and he's doing the peace sign. And I thought I might do him without the hat, but with a Models for Heroes t-shirt or a JMC t-shirt or something like that. That would be really fun. So thank you, Robert. That was very kind. But while I'm talking about purchases, I may as well stick with the subject, because I also purchased the second of the jet models that he makes.
Would you look at that.
Yeah. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely cool. So it's funny because that was so I bought that one this week, and then I bought that one 1 year ago, and it's still in a box. But I've got both.
Yay.
So it just goes to show how long it takes me to get around to things. So if he makes a third, I don't know if I could justify buying the third without having built the first one? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, it was the nice boxes. So. So there was that. So I met, lots of people. So I met John Hayward, who we've got an interview coming up soon.
You have, yeah.
Had a chat with him. Had a nice chat with him, actually. It was really nice to see him. Fun dude. He was a bit grumpy because he hadn't had his vape.
Oh, were you swooning?
No.
Oh, I just wondered.
I kept it together. I was very professional.
Oh, that surprises me.
Funny, I find it really difficult to. This is completely nothing to do with what you asked, but I find it really hard to be professional in this hobby. What with the podcast and what I do with Models for Heroes and things, because I get so excited about them, plastic models, and I'm so excited. I feel like a 12-year-old boy, and I've got to stifle that and be professional. But that 12-year-old boy is so loud, and he wants to jump up and get very, very excited about things. And tell everyone all the things, but I can't tell everyone all the things. You've got to keep quiet and, you know, be professional and all that sort of thing. So when I did meet John, you know, I kept it in.
Well done. Because I wouldn't be able to control my 12-year-old boy. Because I am really 12 anyway.
Aren't we all 12-year-old in some sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all kids growing up too fast, is what I say. But yeah, I bumped into some of the plastic posse guys as well. Uh-huh. They were making their rounds. So I met John Banana. Doesn't look anything like a banana. Met him. That was lovely, actually. He had only positive things to say. Respectful, really happy, really joyful. Joyful is one of the words I would put with everyone was full of joy for the hobby. Everyone's full of, I can't remember who it was I was talking to, but they said that getting back to Telford without any COVID issues at all, it was just like an ejaculation of modelling.
Yes, very much so.
You know, we've been holding it back for so long, and then all of a sudden it all splurges out. And it was a tremendous simultaneous orgasm of plastic. They could use that motto for 2023 if they wanted to.
I've had a lot of conversations with people that went, and same sort of things being said. Is a sigh of relief for not having any restrictions or anything and back to normal, so to speak. So, yeah, I totally get that. So one thing in which I noticed in some of the posts, the guys, the organisers of the show, did you know, in fact, I'm going to ask it as a question, do you happen to know how many 40-foot trailers would be required to remove all the tables from the exhibition hall?
Oh, gosh, I don't. I know they did it slightly differently this time, didn't they? But
it will surprise you. It was two.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a lot of tables.
Yeah, it shows you the amount of effort that was put in and the amount of space that's taken up for those tables. So I'm really grateful that they posted that because I didn't realise that. You know, I would have, like you, thought, oh, well, it's just one lorry in it, probably, or a back room full of tables.
Just a van, innit?
Yeah. Bob turning up with his little...
On the Models for Heroes stand, we had 1, 2, 3, 4 tables. So that would have taken a little bit of a van up. But yeah, I think you're right. That is astounding, actually, the amount of space it takes and time to organise these things. Yeah, hats off to them.
So a big well done for everyone that got involved with the organisation and putting it all together. We wouldn't be able to have the orgasms that we had over the weekend without the effort that you put in. So thank you very much. Big shout out to you guys. And sorry for the mess we made. I hope you had enough mops and buckets. So with that said, actually, I want to get straight to the nuts. I want to know more about the nuts.
Yes. Okay.
So Malcolm, how many nuts? Now that I'm being really unfair on you. I know because I know you didn't write down exactly how many there were, but were the nuts well sprinkled around?
They were liberally sprinkled, yes. There was one knot in the actual competition. Yeah, it's called Two Boats in a Nutshell. Now, I don't know, I hardly got round once, let alone going back to find out how everyone did. So I don't know how it did, whether it got commended or gold or silver or bronze, don't know.
I do. He got silver.
Oh, silver for the... Oh, did he really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he did,
Good for him. Oh, that's fantastic.
And that was Neil Gilborn. who entered that into the competition. So well done you for being brave enough to put it in there. And well done for the judges for taking the spirit of the build into your judging, because I was surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliant. And it was well executed, of course. But
why wouldn't they take it?
It's a little bit out there, isn't it? You know, I wasn't sure how, you know, when we approached them and said, could we invite the special interest groups and clubs to get their nuts out, they were really excited by the invitation or the ask. So that was a little surprising for me. I don't know why, but it was. And the fact that one won a silver, mind-blowing, just absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. Maybe there should be a specific
specific category.
Yeah, class 131, walnuts. Everything must be inside the walnut.
Nuts.
Oh, that would be crazy. That would be brilliant. Oh, dear.
As you sort of tiptoed around it, I'll bring it up. So apparently, Malcolm tells me that some of our listeners have asked the question as to whether there might be a special interest group.
I don't have the time to run it. So if anyone out there would like to start up a special interest group just for walnut builds, straight off the top of my head, I can think of three people who probably leap at that. Be my guest, and I'll certainly support you. I don't have the time, unfortunately, to run a special interest group. I don't have the time to smell my own farts at the moment, so let alone doing something else. I just don't have the time, unfortunately, but I would be all for it. I'd be first in the queue to see.
Yes, and join as in, will I.
But I can't organise it. So anyone out there, I'll put it out. If anyone wants to start a special interest group for walnuts, there will be people interested. So, yeah, there were nuts on the table. There was on the Army and Aviation SIG. There was Harriet's nuts. She got her nuts out, and that was good. That was good to see. And then obviously there was one in the competition. There was one over on the truck SIG. So, yeah, I want to talk about that one. We had the award to give out of the best nut. And I wasn't sure how to do it, because I'm not very good at judging. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to judge it against like skill, or I didn't want to judge it or who had made the smallest thing, or who had made the nut closable, you know, and followed the rules and all that kind of thing. So I wanted one that made me smile from the inside, kind of like joyful one, you know. So Ian Douthwaite's Our Hobby in a Nutshell was the one that I chose as the winner on the Saturday morning, I think it was. Yeah. Sunday morning? It must have been Sunday morning. I placed the nuts award next to it and left it, and then waited for Ian to come over and go, oh, I won! So congratulations to Ian Douthwaite for his Our Hobby in a Nutshell. It was a little model kit box with a little, it was an aerosol can, a little tiny one, and a little model car in there as well. It was lovely. Really, really lovely. So, well done, you.
I think it was a good choice.
Oh, good.
I think it was a good choice because it encapsulated everything about our hobby and everything like that. So, yeah, it was a really, really good choice.
One person brought over, I can't remember the names. Oh, I really should have written them down. I'm so sorry. The one with the odds escaping an asteroid, you know, 3,271 to 1. Mm-hmm. That was cool because that still had the walnut flesh in it.
Yeah, very clever. Yeah. Very cleverly done.
Yeah. And that had a nice little stand as well, one of the little Bandai stands.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. What was interesting is I had on the corner of the Models for Heroes table there, and the public were really, really interested in it.
Mm.
And when people would come over and see them, I would show them the Kubelwagen one, you know, the one with the electrics and the lights, the flippy one. And they'd just be wowed. Every single person would be wowed and awed and impressed, you know. Not one person went, every single person was like, what? Yeah, so it's really cool showing the people that people were like trying to work out what each one was. I couldn't remember what the BP one was until I remembered it was B on a toilet.
Yep.
A lot of people really enjoyed the one that had the band in it, the nuts. and Victor's one where you and I are in the nut as well. That was popular too. There was one with a shark, which was from was it Peter's had one with a little tiny shark on it, and then I think Steve had done one with the shark coming out of the water. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's really cool. And a great way of transporting them as well, as in egg boxes.
Mm.
Yeah, so I had three egg boxes to bring home. I've got three egg boxes in storage with nuts in them. I guess I just bring them out every time.
Absolutely.
Because you can get a lot of nuts on a table.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a SIG and they did have a Telford table next year, mm-hmm. that's a lot of nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? I mean, if there is a volunteer, yeah, hopefully someone will.
Well, actually, it would be quite easy to transport them, wouldn't it? So the nuts was fantastic. It was wonderful. I'm so pleased that we did it. And so thank you very much for every single person who showed us their nuts and got their nuts out and let us inspect their nuts as well.
So as you were wandering around Telford, was there any other buys that you may have picked up?
Not at all.
No, you were good. Well done, you.
Okay, now my wife has stopped listening. I can tell you exactly. No, I did. I did. So I had a dinner on Saturday night with two very interesting chaps from RP Models who are from Portugal. One chap is chemical engineer. One chap is, a military doctor by trade, but he dabbles in the art of 3D digital sculpting. And together they have made RP models. And having dinner with them, they were giving it large about their products. They were talking how much detail they can get in there and how amazing it is and how they can produce this and that and the other. And I was like, yeah, proof of the pudding is in the looking. No one says that. You know what I mean? You'll see it with your own eyes. Seeing is believing. That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, first thing, I made a beeline for their stand because they had some of their things on display. So I went up there and, oh my God, they've got some really lovely stuff. And only when you see it in the flesh do you really get it, really understand what it's all about. So I bought a priest from the Napoleonic series, and I have got number 27 of 200. See, it says there, 27 of 200 in the corner. 75mm figure, 3D printed, and F me, it's beautiful.
I do know the figure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take some photographs and stick it online.
Yeah.
But it's this dude.
Yeah.
And the detail on this guy is insane. It's off the hook, yo. So he's got a pair of glasses on, right? So the figure's only 2.5 inches high. He's got a pair of glasses on for a start. You can see his Adam's apple. You can see the wrinkles under his chin. You can see the trigger on his pistol. You can see all the buckles and bits and the texture on the everything. It's different texture on everything that he's got on. And everything's been cleaned up beautifully. There's no residue. There's no, what's it called? Stands? Spikes?
Yep.
Stands, spikes on there. Yeah, just wonderful. It looks like the guys, they've just invested in a shrink ray or something. It's pretty, pretty damn cool. I think I've got a broken part now I'm looking at it. I think I've got a little... He's also got a little cane I've got to put on him as well. He's got a little cane and his other arm. But one of the things they were saying is because this 3D printing, they can do all sorts of negative space and stuff, but it's gorgeous. And I cannot wait to ruin it by covering it in paint. It's going to paint itself, is what I really want to say.
Yeah, it will do.
It's going to accept a wash. It's going to accept...
I've actually got two of their kits from RP Models. One is the Carthaginian war elephant, and I can't remember what the other one was. Is it Boadicea? The quality of the kit's amazing. Both the guys are the most genuine, lovable guys that I have potentially met in the hobby ever. They're just really, really cool. I quite often have a little conversation with them backwards and forwards. But and I'm really glad that they came to Telford as well.
A really good deep conversation with Hugo about the remembrance and his service, and that was really nice. And yeah, I also got the impression they're both very genuine people, very interesting. A lot of passion for the hobby, a lot of passion for what they do as well. And that came across. So well done them. Really interesting, really clever. So yeah, I bought some stuff. There you go.
So obviously we sort of touched upon it there a minute ago. There were some of the, what some people would term as the regulars that didn't turn up. So that was a lot of the people from Europe, as I understand. Is that right?
Airfix were there. Revel were not there.
Oh, well, they're not.
Yep. Tammy were there, represented by Hobbyco. Backman were there. The usual suspects, let's say. Antics Models for Sale. Scale Modeling Now. Premier Hobbies were there. Annets obviously were there. But there was... Eddard was missing. And for me, personally, Eddard, I really enjoy going around Eddard's stall.
And it's a big stall, isn't it?
They take a lot of space, yeah. The competition was basically put in where Eddard would be.
Wow.
Because they're bit of hall three.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet they stand like a little enclosed shop, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I always buy something from there. But it was a shame not coming over with any over trees or anything like that. But they were missed. And a lot of people did say that they missed them.
Mm. The comments I've had from people that went to the show, it's definitely something that's missed. Obviously, Airfix were there. They normally do a reveal. Was there a reveal this year?
No, there wasn't. However, they were very, very proudly showing off their 124 scale Spitfire Mark 9.
Oof.
What, 9C? Which looks spectacular. They were very proud of that. They also had their Ever Anson on there, and they're showing off their recent released Katie as well. So no new release, but crikey, their stand was busy.
Yeah.
Their stand was always packed. Every time I went past there, it was absolutely rammed. Obviously, they've got their Make and Paint as well opposite, and that was always busy. It was lovely. Actually, seeing all the kids and that painting stuff and with their families and things. Lots of Airfix staff there, which was nice too.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people have come out and visited. And the designer there, and they signed a kit for us. And Dale, brand manager, was there. And Brooke, social media guru, was there. But yeah, no release. But I guess with COVID and everything, everything's kind of got knocked off timings. And they've got a plan for Telford, year in advance, 2 years in advance, obviously.
Oh yeah,
time will tell.
They also had one of the artists there as well, didn't they? Doing signed prints.
Didn't see that. That's a shame, because I would like to have gone there.
Yeah, I did see a picture of it. A rare thing to be able to get hold of, so I've missed out on that, which is a bit of a shame. But let's move on a little bit. Obviously, there was the competition as well. As you wandered around, was there any particular builds that jumped out at you?
Every couple of models, it made me stop. But there was so much. 60 to 80 tables of competition entries. There must have been 10 rows of 50 feet of tables. It was always busy every time I saw the competition. I only went through the a little bit once. But it was always busy there, so I ended up going, you know what, screw it, I have to go and look. So I went in there, and yeah, it was just incredible. There's stuff in there I'd never seen before. There's things in there I didn't even know you could get a model of that thing. I was just enjoying myself looking through, and I didn't take a few photographs. Yeah, there were some amazing things. The thing that stood out to me, the one build that stood out to me, and I imagine everybody will be talking about it, is the Dambuster build that was there. Oh, my Christ. You could see that from like the other side of the hall. What was interesting, let me describe it if you didn't know. It's a 132nd scale Lancaster in flight, dropping one of the bouncing bombs over a lake. And so off the table, the thing is probably a good 80 centimeters. I haven't measured it, but a good 80 centimeters off the table. And the tables aren't that low.
No.
Scale model. So it was pretty damn high. And the splash part is higher than the actual aircraft. So the splash is above it. So you're like, what the heck is that over there? And then when you get close, it's like a monster. Absolutely monster.
The person that built it had got pictures of the dropping of the bomb. And he'd selected a particular picture out of the sequence that was on the side of the base. And the splash, as you said, comes up and envelops the tail of the aircraft. So when I saw it, I thought I was absolutely astounded. I didn't realize it's actually that scale, to be honest, until you just said so. But I was astounded by the model itself.
Well, I think it was 32nd scale.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't. It was a really clever choice of action. Having to support that aircraft in flight is difficult in itself. But having the ability to manipulate the stand within the splash is just insanely clever.
Yeah, so not only is it as a lovely model and it's a demonstration of model making, it's also engineering feat. Because like you say, getting that aircraft to not be standing on a pole that's underneath it, it's standing on a pole behind it, you're going to need a lot of counterbalance. Trust and engineering skills and it's going to work. But the splash was done brilliantly. The way that the water was kind of bending up the side of the splash and kind of was petering out at the ends. There was just tiny details like the splash coming off the barrel as it was spinning. You know, if you get something spinning and you touch it into the water, you get this sort of line around it in the center where it's all kind of collected and spin. That was on there. And it looked like it was spinning, you know, and it did the job. The water was great. And I think the thing that we think weighed 80 kilograms or something, I heard.
Oh, wow, really?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, you're going to have to some good strong steel in there to hold the aircraft up. The aircraft itself as a model is reasonably heavy. All the base, you know, all that base is all resin. There's a lot of it. It's not just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of water there. So, yeah, I mean, hats off. That's beautiful. It's really hard to photograph there. Because you don't know which bit to focus on.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to get one picture of it. So I'll pop a picture up on the Facebook page for this this thing. But yeah, sadly, I don't know who. Do you know who built it? Do you know the person's name?
I don't, unfortunately.
No, that's the thing is you don't see the names. Well, obviously, I guess just to make it fair, you can't see the names of the people.
Yeah. On the competition slips, yeah, there'll be.
I would love. I'm sure there is somewhere, but I would love to see, you know, how it's made, what went into doing it. And I know I also heard that the resin had to be poured twice because it went wrong the first time.
Oh God, no!
Yeah, I think it didn't look right. He said, or whoever built it, I don't know. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful thing, well executed. It's kind of what was all our hobby is all about. You know, those kind of fun wow moments. It was the best in show for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I haven't looked at pictures too much. For me, for the ones that I've seen, that would have been my choice. It's just awesomely executed.
That's exactly what you want. There was another one I do know the name of, a chap called Adrian Bay. This was a World War II American Ranger walking through rubble and he's shouting. Beautiful figure, sort of 75 mil high. I put it up on the Just Making Conversation already in a post. I don't know if you can find it while we're chatting.
Before I go to that, just so you know, the best in show was the Tsar tank, 1914. Oh, I'm going to massacre the name. I apologize. Rafael Sikorsky. Whether the spelling of the word and what I said matches is two different things. But, that's an awesome little build as well. It's 148.
Where did you find that, James?
I went onto the IPMS UK SMW 2022 Facebook page. So you were talking about the picture of the American soldier walking through rubble. He is part of the 101st?
Yeah, it looks awesome. By Adrian Bay.
Adrian Bay, yeah, that's it. Yeah. And apparently he says here that that would have been scratch built as well.
What?
Yeah.
Good God. Well, just said, you know, look at the shadow. The shadow that's cast from his helmet and his head on his tunic.
I don't know if it's the lighting, but there's even shadow on the wall. I don't know if that's painted in. But yeah, it is phenomenal. It's really good.
Bloody brilliant. And it's perfect, as I'd say. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And that stood out to me there. That kind of grabbed my attention as you're walking amongst all the others. Oh, there was a tractor there. well, this was the Hitachi orange tractor thing. Bloody hell, I wish I knew the names of these things. ZW-100. Yeah, it just looks like someone hired a shrink ray and just shrunk these things down. I loved that it wasn't on a base, this one, actually. It was just driving across the, you know, the instruction sheet. it's just fantastic. The tires and stuff where they've got the clean parts where it's been rubbed off. You know, all the little bits of dust and muck still inside the bucket. You know, I'm a sucker for these kind of things, and just delicious.
Yeah, the other one that impressed me an awful lot was the diorama of the Second World War. I think it's B-25, is it? But this is in olive drab, and there is it's set in a diorama. And a lot of people said or have commented that it's a shame that aircraft modelers don't do dioramas. But I've seen a few, I've got to be honest. But they're rare. But it's really nice to see an aircraft in context. Really, really nice.
They're building the wall?
Building the wall, I think. It's rocks. They're building the wall.
Yeah, around the weapons underneath the aircraft. But yeah, that was breathtaking. That really was. The contrast on my photographs are shit, basically. But the contrast on that build was amazing.
Mm.
You know, they're really, really good and striking. One criticism I'll have. Are we allowed to do criticisms on this show?
Yeah.
Considering it's utterly beautiful. Is the case.
Yeah, it's in a plastic case, yeah.
I understand that you've got to protect it. I can... Oh, guy with the exhaust is back. Do you think the guy with the exhaust is like saying, hey, don't criticise that build?
He's a listener.
Come on, mate, you can park. Come on. There we go. I understand that you've got to keep it dust-free. I understand there's lots of precious things on there. You don't want to get them knocked off. But it makes it very difficult to see, photograph, and get close to all the details. Oh, which is, at scale model world, if it's something's in a case, it's kind of pushed away. I love the fact that a model show, you've got the model right in front of you, you can get close to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. It's just a shame it's behind glass and I can't get at it. Maybe I'm annoyed because my photographs are rubbish and I've got loads of reflections off the glass. But the thing is, though, it was right next to the Lancaster.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. So it was really hard to sort of concentrate on this with this kind of, you know, shadow of this Lank over the top.
Mm.
And it's funny because we talked about placement, haven't we, before?
Yeah.
On the show tables. But these things were so big. And then everything has to be in the same class. It's not like you choose to put it on the other table over the road, you know.
Yeah.
They had to be in the same class. They all would be next to each other. But it was hard to – weird, but it was difficult to sort of focus and concentrate on it. And because it was in a case, it kind of didn't want to make me kind of carry on trying hard to look.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a valid criticism, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, there's so much going on that diorama, and it must have taken a long time to put together. Really must have. But the vision and execution is phenomenal. Really, I really love that. But yeah, the case, it is exactly what it is. It's a barrier, you know, and a barrier to protect it from dust and fingers and accidents, which there were, like any show, there will be the odd one here and there. So one thing I want to ask you about the competition area, as we're talking about the competition area, those that have been to Telford before will know it's only this year and last year that the competition area has been in a slightly different place to normal. And it used to be on a mezzanine level, a little bit out of the way of all the other halls. Now, my only criticism to that is the lighting upstairs is poor. I totally understand why it's there. It struggled to suggest anything different, really. However, with that said, they put it in the main hall. Do you think that's a a better place for it? Do you think it made for potentially more visitors? Was it more pleasant to walk around? What are your thoughts on that?
I think more people would have gone there and seen it. But because being up the mezzanine, you'd have to know that it's there and spot the sign to say it's there. You know, You can't stumble across it if it's upstairs. People would have seen the competition that possibly had never seen it before, I guess. But I didn't mind it there at all. The lighting was good. Mm. Well, it casts lots of shadows over everything. You know, it was very direct lighting. Like that picture of the B-106 or whatever it was, B-32, I can't remember. That World War II one, we were talking about the olive drab one. Mm. There's lots of shadows underneath it from the lights. Not helped by its case, but the lighting was, you know, fine. For a massive, massive hall, it was lit well. Mm-hmm. When some of the tables were a bit further across, not under the light, it would cast shadow on the front of the model. So when you were photographing it or trying to look at the details, mm-hmm. it was difficult to make out. And I know some of the pictures on my phone that I didn't actually publish were quite dark because the light was slightly behind and above mm-hmm. rather than, you know. But, you know, people with a photography skill would probably be able to get around that. Mm-hmm. So not too worried. The noise was difficult. I don't know if it's just me, but it's hard to have a focused conversation about something when you can still hear the conversations of everyone else in the background. I don't know if people maybe who are hyper aware and have hyper vigilance and things would struggle, but I struggled to focus on and concentrate on people talking in the competition area. It was so noisy and lots of echo. That's one thing. There's nothing I can do about that, but it felt much more spaced out. It didn't feel so claustrophobic. I don't know if you ever felt that when you were in the mezzanine mm-hmm. area, but claustrophobia a bit.
But so there's two things you said there that sort of concern me. Is firstly, the noise level, because the halls are really noisy. You know, as an ambient noise behind you, it is a lot of noise. And whereas up in the mezzanine area, that's all taken away because it's a very separate area. The other side to that is that it is quite a small area that it's in. I've never felt that it was over cramped with the amount of models. With that said, as you walk around, there is, of course, the queue of people wanting to look at the models on either side of the corridor, if you like, between the tables, and very little room to squeeze between if you want to skip a class because you're not as interested as you might be in others or something. The amount of models has grown that have been entered because I remember from the first times I went, you go up into the mezzanine area and it is like a little room set back where all the models were. And the last time, I mean, certainly when I entered my last model, there were a lot of tables outside of that area on effectively the balcony, if you like, if for want of a better phrase. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Going on the history of other model shows that have gone on, there's a lot more models being shown. I did wonder whether that might be a factor in it as well. But the lighting really was my main concern more than anything else.
It's never ever going to be perfect, is it? It's never ever going to be just right.
No.
It was nice and bright.
You can only work with the environment in which you set. So
yeah. No, it was fine. It was nice and bright. Good strong lighting. It was fine. But yes, I didn't feel cramped. I didn't feel rushed. I didn't feel, you know, like I was trying to dodge around people. I got to see everything I wanted to see, even though it was busy. Some people were having conversations with others in front of other models, which meant that you had to wait and, you know, mm-hmm. say excuse me and things like that. That's fine. Because I was probably doing the same thing, you know, having an in-depth mm-hmm. conversation about bouncing bombs and things like that. What was nice as well is I recognized models of people I knew. Increasingly happens all the time now, I guess, as I get more into the hobby and meet more people. But lots of things I recognized or knew people were going to be in the competition that I recognized were there. And it gave me an enormous sense of pride to see my friends and their stuff in there, you know. It was really cool. Everyone completely mm-hmm. deserved to be in a competition. That's what I really like, is you can put anything in the competition at all. It's not judged first. There's no pre-judging. You know, saying you can't put that in there, you can't put that in there. Mm-hmm. You know, anything can go in. So it's lovely to see that. There's stuff in there that, you know, did they even do a kit for that? How did they make that? And then realize it's a complete scratch built. But yeah, it was lovely. Really, really mm-hmm. good. Real celebration. And it made me want to come directly home and tell everyone about plastic scale modeling and what an awesome hobby it is, and start making stuff, which is kind of the whole point, isn't it? Mm-hmm. IPMS show.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the pinnacle of the year for most modelers in the UK. And I suppose, really, if I'm totally honest, it's the one thing I'm missing more than anything else by not attending. I tend to find, especially the winter months, I struggle a little bit with my model making. But I tend to find when I come back from a show, I'm always buzzing and I'm always, oh, I could do this, I could do that, or I might have picked up a particular kit or whatever. And yeah, that's a really weird feeling, because I think it's the first time that I've not gone to Telford for something like 7 years. Really strange. And to listen to my friends and colleagues who have been to the show and the way they are buzzing, it just highlights that even more. So if you haven't been to Telford and the awesome, absolutely awesome 2-day event that is Scale Model World, you need to pencil it in right now for next year. And next year will be bigger and bolder in so many ways for so many people. And really, really looking forward to it. I have actually already, a week ago, in fact, started my plans for next year.
Cool. Well done. Have you put in some money in a jar ready for your purchases and hotel costs?
Yeah. I am not somebody who plans these sort of things very well. Hence why I wasn't there this year. But I'm going to learn.
Are you going to have a word with your work as well and make sure that they give you time off?
The time is already booked.
Oh, my God.
So all that I need to do now is find a widow with a dodgy heart. And we're there. It's all sorted.
Okay. There you go. So if you know of anyone, let's get in contact. It was quite fun meeting people that I'd met online before and never met in person. I got to meet, I've met Ivan before, obviously, but he was still there, larger than life.
Yeah.
He really is a force. There was Jackson as well. There was John Hayward, like I've mentioned. The chap from IPMS Lincoln, is it Neil Pepper?
Yes.
He came over and said hello, and he talked about when I talked about him in the last episode, and then I talked about him then, and then I'll talk about him now talking about the episode, which is kind of meta, but you know, it was funny. But also Chris Meddings, I met him too.
Yeah.
He kind of had a cheeky seat next to us and a nice chat. That was interesting. Actually, I'm talking about his book and his work he's doing. Did you see his Dragon Rapide?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. That, he said he'd been working on that night and day the last week, kind of cleaning it up as best he could. That was wonderful.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
Yeah, it was nice chatting to him, actually. I'm so sorry if there's anyone else that I've completely forgotten. I imagine as soon as we stop recording, James, I'll go, oh, God, I can mention that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, they pulled their heart out. And if I've forgotten, I apologize. Not out of malice. It's out of just sheer stupidity. Not being able to remember everyone's names. but, yeah, I had a great time. All in all, in summary, I had a fantastic time. I would go again tomorrow in a heartbeat. Things that I would do differently. Mm-hmm. I would definitely stay the Thursday again. So I stayed the Thursday night and I also stayed the Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, 4 full days away. It made it much easier. I mean, it didn't really work for me, to be honest, because I felt quite ill on Friday because I didn't sleep very well in the hotel. So the hotel bed was tiny and short, and my feet were hanging off the end. I didn't sleep well. And because I had so much to do, I think, running around my head, didn't sleep well. So I had kind of like a migraine on them, which meant I wasn't in a particularly great mood trying to set up a stand. I think the only thing I would do differently is drag you along. Kicking and screaming. I did miss you there.
Oh.
I would have been less busy. Purely selfishly.
It worried me a great deal that I was effectively dropping you. Not only the fact that obviously we'd arranged dates and, you know, I knew you'd go off with someone else. But the fact I couldn't be there to help carry the burden and support you was traumatic. I'm not going to lie, it was traumatic. But I sound like a bit of a drama queen. I really don't mean to be.
It just meant that we didn't do any recording when we were there. That was all.
It's a shame because we had lots of plans, and I'm sorry that I've let the side down. Life is like that sometimes.
Telford is best enjoyed with your head and shoulders immersed in the experience. Don't just pop in for a day. Get yourself a hotel, chat up a mate, and sleep on their floor. Ooh. And get in there for the 2 days. Not with your mate, to Telford. With so much to see and so many people to meet, it really should be a full week.
It's a celebration of model making, a big plastic party, where every part of the hobby comes together in one big blowout. Roll on Scale Model World 2023. Yay!
Yay!
Next time on Just Making Conversation, we will be talking about other subjects relating to this daft hobby of ours. You have been listening to Just Making Conversation with
James Giffins
and me, Malcolm Childs.
Follow us on Facebook, where we post updates and other nonsense.
Find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and all the others.
Let us know what you're just making and what your thoughts are on the conversation in this episode.
Thank you to the following supporters from buymeacoffee.com/JMC podcast.
Dean, Mike Shelley, Ivan Builderkit, Callum from Micro Machines Podcast, Paint All the Minis Peter, Brad Warren Tim, Black Rifle, John, Julian, Chuck, Mark, Baka Hawaii, Simon the Jersey Gent, Steve, Lee, Costas, Mark, Ray, Neil, Mike, Robert, Andrew, Drew, John, Mike, Jeff, Richard, Lynn, Gordon, and 6 others.
If you do show your support, leave your name so we can paint the roll of honour on the tail of the next episode.
Bye. Good boy.